see my physician. He said you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. Doc Rick calls that being proactive and empowered to take control of your life. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in Newburgh, New York. And I'm with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. And when you have questions, I will ask you to go to thealternativehealthcarenetwork.com and consult with any of the providers listed on the site. Each one of the providers offers you a unique opportunity to support you when your health matters. So if we do not answer your questions fully while on the show, please consider contacting any one of us directly for the answers you seek. My direct phone number is 845-561-BACK or 561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And I really appreciate you tuning in and taking the time to learn some things, because it's through education that society will improve itself, and it's through education that we will stop doing the insane things that we do with our health and with society itself. So I appreciate your time and your attention to your most important asset, that being your health. And to help me do that today is my cohort who's sitting across the studio from me. His name is Mark Sabin, and welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Good morning, Doc Rick. Pleasure to be here with you today to talk about a topic that is getting more attention these days, but is not really moving in terms of how we're dealing with it health-wise, because there's not the kind of regulations and authorities that are actually contributing to a positive message about this. And the topic is GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. And I'd like to take a closer look at what the arguments are for it and against it.
Absolutely. Happy to have this conversation. This will be interesting.
It should be. So, in some ways, since the adoption of agriculture more than 10,000 years ago, farmers have been making selections about which seeds and crops to grow. So, in some ways, we're all eating domesticated food these days.
That's very, very true. And the difference is when you're dealing with genetically modified organisms versus just natural seed selection and discarding the runt of the litter, if you will, and and picking the ones that seem vibrant and healthy, and that's through natural selection, and that's going to go on in everything that lives.
And that's not the way things are happening now, because the significant changes in food production, which really have only been going on since the 1990s, and it began in the dairy industry with enzymes and growth hormones, and what this did was it led to fatter cows and increased milk production.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's been going on since before the 1990s. There's been evidence of it as early as the 19-teens and 1920s. They passed a Healthy Food Act of 1908 that said you can't change food if it's going to change the way that the consumer processes it. And they've been violating the Healthy Food Act easily, legally, since the early 1930s when the FDA rewrote the rules and regulations of the Food and Drug Administration.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, in terms of GMOs, the two sides seem to be divided over whether it's more important to be able to feed the billions of people on the planet and end starvation versus what's best in the interest of your individual health.
Yeah, and it is a compelling argument. And what's interesting is they create the illusion that we don't have enough resources to feed the world. And I would disagree with that. But, you know, if they can monetize it and they can polarize people with it, that's politics.
Yeah, true. And I mean, the chief argument that proponents make is that GMO crops can produce maybe as much as twice the yield of non-GMO crops.
That's because you can create twice as much artificial crap versus real food if you're genetically engineering it. But it's not real.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing proponents argue is that GMO food production will make food more, or non-GMO food will make food more expensive. And, if you tell people about it, it's not going to provide them any useful information.
So say that again. If we tell people that it's GMO,
there's really no useful information in knowing that it's GMO.
Well, I, as a consumer, personally would like to know if I'm eating something that's real or if I'm eating something that's been made in a chemistry lab that isn't real, that is going to be lacking certain natural ingredients that would be required by my body in order to be healthy. If you're substituting it with artificial, with it's been genetically modified so that it won't produce certain responses within my body, those responses let you know whether you're in balance or whether you're out of balance. We need those responses.
Now, it's interesting, you say natural versus artificial, but how far do you have to go from the natural to make it artificial?
That's a good question, and that's where the blurred line is. What's the difference between organic versus non-organic? And, there's laws out there that say if you haven't done anything harmful to a soil within 7-year period, then you can call whatever grows on that organic. Well, what if 8 years ago it was a toxic dump site that they just simply let time go by, and so it kind of settled a little bit more, which essentially is not exactly what happened where I was growing up as a kid. They closed down a shopping mall because the land itself became toxic. And so they left that lot vacant for 20 years, and then they put up a new shopping mall because you had a new generation and people had forgotten. And I drove by it and I was just like, how did they get the clearance to put a new mall in here? Because the land itself was deemed toxic 20 years ago.
Interesting that they could do that. Now, proponents argue that genetic modification really actually has a long history, even longer than what you mentioned. They say scientists have found ways to safely modify agricultural plants and animals and microbes. And what's wrong with that argument?
I don't know that there's anything wrong with the argument if in fact what we're being told is true. But I do know that when you start to mess with our microbes, that you start to really deal with their survival of a species. I mean, you take a look at what's going on with the honeybees and mm-hmm. their population and what's occurring within that and how it's affecting our ability to pollinate plants and our ability to grow crops and our ability. Well, yeah, because it's interfering with how nature does things because of cell phone towers and because of chemtrails and because of all the things that go on in society that interferes with nature's ability to be nature.
And one of the things that we seem to be doing is as we modify what we call nature, nature is actually not able to adapt to the modifications we're making.
Right. And then we lose species and then the planet's not the same as it was, and we have the ability to adapt and we have science that can help us adapt, but are we really adapting in a healthy way or are we creating more disease? And I would say we're creating more disease because the healthcare industry has become really all about profits over people.
Mm-hmm. Now, another argument that I've heard made was that there's really only a few crops that are being grown using GMOs, and mostly it's corn, soy, and sugar beets. And we have to keep in mind that as of 2008, 92% of the soybeans planted in the United States were GMO varieties. Genetically modified corn is 80% of its GMO. So I guess the problem with these crops is that they're used in such a high percentage of the foods that are being served.
Right. And the sad part is that they're not telling us. There's no law that says that they have to tell us that this food was grown with GMOs. And the concern is that they don't want to let the truth out of the bag. Why? Because then people may stop buying it, and then the investment that they made to create the GMOs will become a waste. And I think society has a right to know if give us the freedom to choose whether we want to eat real food, even if it costs a little bit more, versus man-made, chemical, genetically modified food that they can roll out to us and has a long shelf life and looks beautiful all the way up until the time that you consume it, but has no nutritional value.
Yeah, or at least substantially less. And at this point, anything that you buy off the shelves in the supermarket, almost all of it, if that much of the corn and soy and sugar beets is already GMO, probably most everything that you buy on the shelves of the supermarket are already containing those GMO foods.
Correct.
Well, this is fascinating. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about GMOs.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center for all the latest on improving your health. I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today we're talking about GMOs and how it affects our health and how it's being allowed into our foods and what you as a consumer need to be aware of.
Yeah. Now, you know, GMO proponents argue that turning off a couple of genes to make a plant hardier isn't really much of a problem because there's no data on it being harmful. But does the lack of data prove that GMOs are harmless?
No, the lack of data doesn't prove that at all. And you add a drop of oil to a pristine lake and you're going to say, well, it's not really affecting the water. You got to add a certain amount in order for it to now truly affect the water. And my thought is if you put a drop of oil, like crude oil, into your drinking water, how much are you going to say is, yeah, it's okay if it's in there?
Yeah, no, really. And if you think about, like, in the case of a Down syndrome child, it's one gene that's different that affects the child.
That's a fascinating point. And I think that actually is a great example of what people don't really think about, because I never thought of it that way. But that's an excellent example. It's like, okay, trisomy 21, you change that one gene.
The one gene.
And it influences the whole presentation of that child. And if you're just changing one gene within the food industry, what does that do to the organism?
What does it do to the organism? Now, another argument that's made is that organic foods are 10 times more likely to be recalled for bacterial contamination than a GMO food. Now, is that something that we should consider?
Well, why would the bacteria gravitate towards the real food versus the genetically modified food?
Maybe the bacteria are smarter than we are.
Maybe the bacteria know that it's real, and that's a good food source, so they're prone to go towards real food. It's like sometimes I've had dogs in the past where you put down what is considered, quote, dog food, and then sitting next to it is one of my whole food supplements, and they'll go to the whole food supplements every time before they go to the food that they eat every day.
Interesting.
Why? Because it smells real, not this is what I have to deal with, but I would like to eat this because this is the stuff that I would really like, even though I don't get it.
Fascinating. Now, proponents of genetically modified organisms also argue that because genetically modified food modified foods like sugar and oil don't contain any proteins, so labeling won't give consumers any useful information.
Right. If you withhold the information, you're unaware of the information. But if you start to educate somebody on what it means, like I do a whole class on how to read a label. We do the Shop with a Doc to teach people how to look at the labels in the food stores so that they can understand what it is that they're looking at. If you educate somebody, now you've empowered them. But if you don't educate them, you keep them dumb, then you have the control over them. And that's what big business is about.
Yeah. And it's kind of crazy to think that the companies making the profits from this controversial methods don't have an obligation to inform the public. I mean, without information, people are prevented from making their own decisions about what to feed their families. And I suppose if people have a choice in the matter, it might negatively impact the profits for those major food producers.
Of course it would, because if all the chickens look exactly the same, which was a decision that was made back in the 1940s, if they can make every chicken look the same, then that's what people will eat. Well, if they can make every strawberry look the same, then that's what people will eat. There's no variety, but there's not one type of human being. It's the rainbow of colors that make up the human experience and make up the human species, and to have everybody the same is insane. And to force us to have everything to be the same in an effort to make profits over the health and welfare of the species, that's the most insane thing that there could ever be.
And it doesn't seem that protecting species is a priority.
No, because there are proponents within our governmental system that think that we're already overpopulated. And so if we can reduce the population, I mean, this is an extremist perspective, but it is a perspective that's floating around out there. If we can reduce the population, then it'll be easier to feed and easier to control. And that's kind of where we're leaning right now.
Well, we're also seeing this tremendous extinction of species on the planet right now. So it's not just even the human population we're talking about. We're looking at the threats to many of the animals that we've all grown up loving.
Right. And when you're dealing with altering nature, beware of the negative consequences, because there's self-correcting mechanisms in the whole universe. And if we screw up, if we go too far in one direction, we're going to have to deal with some severe consequences. And I'm pretty confident that we're already headed in that direction.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't seem that there's any way really to turn the clock back on genetic engineering. So, you know, the whole issue of labeling doesn't seem to be the predominant issue here.
Well, that's because it's not being done. I think if we were to label and people were to become aware, then we could let the people actually speak based upon what they're doing, not what they're told to do or what they're being withheld from knowing what they're doing. If they actually are able to make a transparent decision, then you'll know what the trends are, and then business can adapt to that instead of making people adapt to business, which is what we currently do in business.
Yeah, one of the major reasons for modifying foods genetically is to make the plants better able to withstand the use of pesticides, most notably Roundup. But this leads to a lot of other problems. I mean, herbicides are meant to kill. So how can they be healthy for people?
Right. How can they be healthy for people? Well, they really can't. Yet, that's what's being allowed because we want to sell crops that look enticing to buy. And so if we can genetically engineer them that are enticing to buy, and the companies like Monsanto who produce Roundup have developed the science to understand that we could spray the hell out of this thing and keep all the pests off of it, and it will be able to survive, and then you take that and you give it to somebody, you give it to a newborn and feed them with that, yeah, there's just going to be a lot of negative consequences. But if the negative consequences don't show up for 20 or 30 or 40 years, people don't see the correlation. And if they don't see the correlation, they think, well, it must be safe. But it's not. We are destroying not our current children, but our children's children. Yeah. We are destroying them today. And so, good, science is going to try to genetically engineer a human being, and all the science is being devoted towards gene manipulation and gene therapy and treating the unborn, and all of that is where all the big money research is right now. That's insane, but yet that's what they feel we have to do because of the choices that we made in previous generations, that we have to somehow combat. And yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, and turning this whole ship around is a pretty difficult thing to try to consider.
It will be daunting.
It will be. Now, another thing that's true is with all these newly resistant crops, of course, farmers can use more and more pesticides because, hey, they don't have to protect the plants from exposure.
Yeah, but what are they doing to themselves? What are they doing to the ground? What are they doing to the water that, the rain flows off of and goes into what ends up becoming streams and other estuaries? And what is it doing to the fish that are in those streams and estuaries? And then we're eating those fish, and it's
an endless cycle.
I'm sorry, but yeah, your pesticides today are going to be on your plate tomorrow, and you're just happy because your crops are looking all beautiful and you can make a big profit. Well, I hope you're saving that profit because you're going to need it for your healthcare costs.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, we talk sometimes about the Food and Drug Administration, and which is in charge of food safety, but they actually have no obligation, no responsibility for determining the dangers of food.
I know, and that was relatively fascinating when I called the Food and Drug Administration and I talked to a nice woman there, and she was very nice at answering my questions. And at the end of the day, until it becomes an epidemic, they don't have any reason to step in. And I just think that that's why do we need to have an epidemic before we understand what it is that we're doing? If they're the ones who are helping to approve what foods or what drugs are made available to the public, then guess what? My thought is that they can't just go with the data that the company presents them as being the accurate data, and then we find out years later that, well, they took half of the results and they threw those out because it wasn't in the best interest of their profits. And as long as the FDA gets paid and as long as the manufacturers get paid and as long as it takes years for the effects to show up in the human population, then who cares about the data? Again, profits over people.
It's amazing. It's amazing. This is a fascinating conversation. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I'd like to conclude this conversation about GMOs with some other questions and observations.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to When Your Health Matters.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center for all the latest on improving your health. I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, a show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today we're talking about GMOs, or genetically modified organisms, and the effect that that has on our health and what we need to do about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it seems like wisdom is a commodity that we are not very interested in terms of how we approach our health and wellness as a nation. And one of the problems that I've read about with GMOs is that just like antibiotics are creating new superbugs, the GMOs are now creating these super weeds.
Yeah, super weeds. Weeds that can withstand everything because they have to adapt to what they're being exposed to. And so, again, once you screw with a little bit of nature and you go against natural tendencies, and there's going to be consequences. And, in the old days before we had all this technology, we would survive and thrive in good years, and we would, conserve and work our way through in lean years, and that certainly kept people from being obese.
Yeah, I guess it did. Now, one of the things, obviously, at this point, it's extremely hard to avoid GMO foods. What can people do to avoid GMO?
What can they do?
Yeah.
They can demand. They can demand to their politicians. They can demand to the government. They can demand when they go to the voting booth, although I'm not really sure that that's going to have the effect because lobbyists will buy voting results and get what they want so that they can stay in power and so that they can continue to make money and profits. You got to start doing research. You got to listen to shows like this. You got to take the time to do some research. Use the internet. Find websites. Find resources where you can become educated and understand what you can do to sidestep, step around, and walk that, quote, minefield of food that is out there. There's a commercial on this show today about Shop with the Doc. Take the time to take advantage of that, whether it's with me or with your doctor. You know, I happen to offer that as a service, and I think it's a valuable service. And take the time to go through the store with somebody who's educated and become educated yourself. That's the thing that you need to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what about eating organic? I mean, that sounds good. Could we feed everybody if we went to an organic food source?
Of course we could, but they don't want us to know that because that would require us to change what we're doing, and it would cut into profits, and it would make things more challenging, and nobody likes to change. They want to get better without any change. Things don't get better without change.
That's true. And, you know, one of the things more and more people, we're seeing this certainly in both California and New York, where we are, that people are turning more and more towards farmers markets and natural food stores. And there's a large segment of the population that is moving towards healthier lifestyles.
And that's great. The difficulty is that we as consumers are used to having things taste a certain way, and we've discussed on other shows about how they add things that help to give it a certain texture and a certain taste and a certain quality to it, and we become addicted with that. And as a result, some of these, quote, health food stores start to carry products that are non-healthy. And then, again, you as a consumer need to become educated, because just because it says it's a health food store doesn't mean that everything in that store is healthy. Mm. So you have to know, and you have to be able to read and understand and understand the manufacturing that goes into making this product. Even though it says 100% natural, that doesn't mean that it's ideal for a person to consume. And that's why
that's important to know.
Service like Shop with a Doc is important, but it's again, it goes back to getting educated.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to get more educated about what goes on with GMOs or their own health, or they have questions about things that we haven't been able to cover in this show, what can people do to reach out to you and find out more information?
They should reach out to me. Go to my website, spineboy.com. It's a wealth of information that has it's been newly designed and makes the answers easier. There's lots of videos. There's lots of articles. There's lots of everything to get the sources that you need. You come to a free healthcare class. There's a way to come to the free healthcare class through the website. Listen to this radio show. Buy books. Do internet research. Go to classes. Get educated. Get more information. Get more understanding about what is being done to you, because it's being done to you, and you get to prepay for the future health problems that you're having today. You're prepaying today for the ones you're going to have tomorrow, and that's not okay.
That's not okay. But this show is really one of the things that people can do if they're listening to our show to get some more information, to make different choices. And once you have the information, it's really up to the person individually to make new choices with their own life.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's important is there's a company out there that I use, which is called Standard Process. They make whole food supplements, and the whole food supplements are made from organic food, and they have all the ingredients that nature would want you to have. And I use that in my office. Why? Because I need to fill in the holes in people's diets. And so please find a practitioner who uses Standard Process. Get on some of these wonderful products, because it's going to give you back what they're stripping from your food. And that's, if you don't have the proper fuel, you're never going to be healthy.
This is really great, Doc Rick. We're out of time for today, but thanks so much for doing this. And
absolutely.
I look forward to talking to you next week.
Please tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.